Good day and thank you for joining us for another episode of Yard Info, the lighter side of Jamaican news. Today, Thursday, July 15th, we'll be talking about the preemptive strike. Why is the JLP criticizing the OCG?
Leave the man alone!
And Tivoli Gardens. Tivoli, costing us dearly.
Tivoli.
Question. Does Jamaican athletics have a drug problem?
Leave us alone!
Hear what? They're back! Just when the government thought they hadn't gotten rid of Manat Phelps and Phillips. Kristen,
gosh.
Andrew, take it away.
Thank you, Nicole. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Andrew Hewitt and Chris.
Johnny Daly in the building.
Oh, yeah.
Chris. Yes, sir.
I have a feeling today is going to be a big one.
Yes, sir. You don't know, I always try to keep it, you know. Like this one. Let us give a paper in a bag and all big information.
So you know, it's serious.
Mad.
Yeah? And the seriousness start off with the information minister.
Yeah.
Of the JLP, Daryl Vaz. Minister Daryl Vaz. You did have a name for him. What you call him again? Jack B. Nimble. Cause this fellow very nimble for true, you know.
Jack me quick.
I tell you.
Eh?
Now, tell me if this is not a nimble fellow.
Yes.
The information minister, Daryl Vaz, said that both the Jamaica Labour Party government and the opposition, the People's National Party, has raised concerns about public pronouncements by Greg Christie or the contractor general.
Yeah, man.
Since when did Daryl Vaz get the authority to speak on behalf of the PNP?
Boy, we call that drying, you know.
Yeah,
that words are drying.
Yeah, man,
that
sound like
that dry, say, I mean, let me tell you something. Not more than a dirty business, that, you know. Not more than one like a conversation probably go on. You understand, between them. We want him say to all somebody across the floor, say, you know, like, oh, my way, I join people. They must say, you don't say that. I have to look into that. Hey! No! Yeah. But let me tell you something about Mr. Vaz now. You know, man, Jack B. Nimble.
Jack B. Quick.
He's a man with talking, you know. Run away with the talking, you know.
Yeah, man.
I can't back it up.
Talking makes sense sometimes. Is it the right?
Misinformation.
Yeah.
I don't know why them detect that portfolio and give it to him.
Listen to me. I personally feel like this is a preemptive strike.
What a man, Vital, to camera, man.
Them under pressure.
You know, sometimes when they see Mike, they just ignore microphone. We just ignore certain microphone. Uh-huh. No, it's like he run up in a
oh gosh.
You know, I like it when I'm feeling bad, man.
Yeah.
You don't know, but the PMP though were quick to take with themselves recently.
That is right.
They took up because you up now. Me and you know said that the man them Mr. Christie there have the backing of the Jamaican people.
Entire nation.
If him are doing work,
that's right.
If he sniff them out, sniff them out.
Let him do him work.
That's right.
I agree.
Wait, Mr. Vaz, Mr. Misinformation now. I come talk up the things about. We are looking into them. They're mad. Let me tell you something. Mr. Christie, I want to hunger people in Jamaica. We have to look but don't touch.
That's right.
Look but don't touch. Right. And that is simple, straight up.
So when you hear, I mean, Mr. Vaz coming with an argument such as competent and skilled Jamaicans are thinking twice before joining the public sector for fear that their reputation could be damaged beyond repair.
That is a joke.
Competent and skilled thief in Jamaica. Competent and skilled.
Does this make any sense to you?
Listen, the public, any Jamaican will feel like say.
Uh-huh.
Any Jamaican, let me tell you this straight, will feel like say, for them Jamaican people, where them know.
Yeah.
I work the public sector work now, Nicole, may I talk up loud and
the thing. But hold on, because Nicole champion at the bit to say something.
These are Jamaican people you know. You're Jamaican people, right?
Uh-huh.
All right. These are the same Jamaican people you know. I do public sector work. We're already overstaffed. Some of them have not. Listen, you know what public sector work? I mean, just got work. So they want the desk.
No, but if you're an honest worker,
come to them, that's all
if you're an honest worker, what is it that you would have to fear about a man who is doing his job to stamp out corruption?
Exactly.
Yeah? That's my point exactly, Andrew.
So, I this is absolute rubbish.
Listen, Mr. Christie, just know, say, if, look here, if Mr. Christopher Prime Minister, that's all I'm saying.
That's all and I'm saying kind of energy too.
There. That right now, that kind of energy that the man has shown. Say, look here, I am willing to stomp on what I don't care. And that kind of energy that. That's the kind of thing you see on a piece of poster. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And as you rightly said, after Peter Bunting came out sheepishly and mentioned the overzealousness, the PNP eventually had to not only take away themselves, but to support very strongly the OCG.
Man. Yeah,
because they know that right now they can't afford to be on the side of Mr. Nimble. So I don't know what he was thinking. And just to let our listeners know, the primary functions of the Office of the Contractor General are to monitor and investigate.
Contractor General, is a contractor.
Nearly. The Contractor General are to monitor and investigate the award of government contracts, licenses, and permits. Boy, Chris, you know, good mood to them, man. But, you know, I bring this little part here. I brought it up because you notice what it says. It is the OCG is there to monitor and investigate.
Yes.
And there's one thing that's missing, that has been missing, and they've been calling for the change for some time, is that he also needs the authority to levy punishment, fines, to more than just recommend to Parliament. Because the fact of the matter is, some of the times, it's these same parliamentarians that are involved in some of the corruption and scandals that he's investigating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but them have the integrity to resign. But them nobody now know them can enter.
They must have the integrity to resign, don't they?
Take on themselves.
We soon get to that, man. I like how you bring that up early. We soon get to that one. I like. But in his defense, you know, the Contractor General responded and swore to uphold the instrument of his office without fear or reservation from any individual, nimble or not. That's right.
Carry on.
Yeah. So he responded and responded in, I think, a very resolute and firm way. And as we have said, he continues to enjoy solid public support.
Definitely.
Yeah. There were comments on the Observer article. And I tell you, of about 20 comments, I did not see one single solitary one in support of the JLP's position.
Mad. Let me tell you something, man. Lord, leave Mr. Christie alone. Simple.
All right. Listen, before we move ahead, there is one item I wanted to cover. Reader feedback.
Yeah.
Actually, from about 2 weeks ago when we had covered the issue with the Reverend Trans... Reverend Al.
Yes.
Gary Brown, one of our friends on Facebook, one of the listeners of the podcast, he had commented on the posting of the podcast itself.
Yes.
And had taken us to task about some of our statements. I took some time out and responded to him, and this was his response after that.
Uh-huh.
Firstly, thanks for taking the time to respond to my post. It says a lot. Glad for no say a big people may I deal with. I fully understand and agree with your point. I also believe that people who act in God's name need to be held to an even higher level of accountability.
Mm.
I also fully understand why Pastor Al did what he did. However, he made a decision that comes with consequences, so now he has to face the music.
Amen.
I personally hope he gets a slap on the wrist, but if not, then I just saw it go. What is surprising to me now, though, is how most of us seem to be ignoring the fact that if he never got involved, the end result could have been much different. Just ask Jim Brown.
Mm.
Yes, Dudus was a problem and needed to be caught. But Dudus is not the problem. We, the spectating, short-term memory, masochistic Jamaicans, are the problem. We seem to love the punishment being meted out to us by our corrupt, selfish, hypocritical leaders. Yes, sometimes we have to take bad things, make laugh. But when do we say enough is enough? We take it from the PNP and now the JLP. I'm sure you have no doubt seen the pictures of guys shot in Tivoli, in particular the ones lying in the morgue, all of whom had fatal head wounds. And up to that point, they outnumbered the official count of weapons recovered. Now, this was earlier, before the weapons count went up. So that could only mean one of two things. They were shot from far away by very expert marksmen, or at close range execution style. what happened here is a really big, big deal. 80 people died, and if Dudus wasn't caught, this state-sanctioned bloodletting would have cost many more lives. Now, I fully support the security forces and their spirited drive to eradicate crime, but you can't enforce the law by breaking it. The vigor with which they pursue criminals must be tempered with an even greater respect for life, property, and the innocent. We are an amazing people with incredible potential, and I love Jamaica and Jamaicans to death. But leadership must first feel the same way about us. Jamaica's greatest asset is its people, not tourism, bauxite, or world opinion. Mm-hmm. But you could never tell this by the way the people in Tivoli were treated recently and over the last 40 years. Successive governments never saw it fit to even establish a police post there until recently. The way I see it, Tivoli and all the neighboring communities are vote farms. Who is looking out for these people? What hope do they have for a better future? I tell you this right now, and you can hold me to it. I will have no more of this. I, for one, am done with the old Jamaica and its duality, even if it costs me my life. This is from Gary Brown, one of our readers, and I thought it was very important to read this because I think as Jamaicans we need some introspection.
Yes, yes. And I like the way you put a lot of things that you read there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a question that popped up in my head when him say it's almost like we accept, we like the fact, we like the beating that we're getting.
Mm-hmm.
Is it because we too live our lives kumujin, why we're willing to accept the level of kumujin and flip-flopping and wheeling and dealing that we see?
We're no longer the kind of sociable people that we once were. Is that what you're saying? That everybody is for themselves?
Not just sociable. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're all materialistic. We're all selfish now. Everybody just going about achieving what they want.
Exactly. And so when we hear, for instance, of a blatant thing like $40 million gone, mm-hmm. and we really don't know where it is,
mm-hmm.
we say something like, why, that's money there, all right.
You're right,
instead
there.
Of saying,
you're perfectly
instead of saying,
right.
Who the hell thief our money like that?
$40 million,
you know what I mean?
Like the 21 that we talked about last week.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I love when people go that deep and introspective and put up the mirror. And look into self that way, because mm-hmm. that's what you're cleansed to.
Yeah.
Yeah, so whole heap of points there that I like. And I'm happy that our people, our listeners,
mm-hmm.
Get so close and personal with the podcast.
And this is what we
it's
want.
It's a personal thing.
We want the discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah. And since we're on the topic of Tivoli, who was it? Was it Adams?
Them give them a nice trip, though.
Them get a
for
wonderful whole heap
of 40
trip
years
to...
of setting them up and... using Tivoli the way they have used it over the years.
What is the name of that water place down by Negril?
Them give them a nice trip
them go down to Negril, down at the water park.
Yes.
And then they were at Holiday Sun Street Inn.
Yeah, man, 3 days.
You need to change your address to Tivoli.
3 days, them get a nice.
I don't even know where we stay.
Them gamma, don't they know?
Them
gamma, don't
they know? Well, we're talking about it because Tivoli is continuing to cost us dearly, dearly, dearly. The latest thing is that the compensation claims from the residents are already totaling in the millions of dollars.
Them can't put a figure on it.
Yeah, well, they haven't given us a final figure.
Just millions.
There are more than 1,000 people who have sent in claims already.
Yeah, for them whatnot and them break front.
Right.
Yes.
There was one lady talking about her washing machine
mm-hmm.
and the components that her daughter took. Her daughter's mm-hmm. father took from foreign fair.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we're talking about thousands of dollars from each
and
individual.
And through the office of the ombudsman, right?
The office of the public defender.
Public defender, right.
Right. So... they are looking now, and of course, it's the government that this is going to cost. But my question was, since when Dudus was actually extradited, when he waived his right to the trial and was extradited, the mm-hmm. government actually moved to seize his assets. Since he was the one who resisted arrest and caused all this in the first place, why aren't we looking to use his assets to pay for these damages?
Can
why should it
that?
Cost us? I'm not sure.
Anjo, me not say nothing about that, you know. If I look here, you know, me keep my mouth shut. But you want to use the man's money.
So all of them they are firing your friend.
I don't know what's going in the police health. Look here. A government going in the police.
No, but if he had not resisted arrest, if he had not resisted the warrant.
I suspect they just need him to come on right now to pay a liar. That's what I suspect.
So but are you saying to me the liar fees?
Him look here. I don't care what I say.
Yeah.
When you're in American jail, lock up. And yeah, and your money getting tied down. The money that you never expect to get tied down in a bank and tied down in a land and it little money. Can look at rich man, no the man can't be a liar, that's serious thing.
Boy.
Anyway,
well listen, it's costing us dearly and costing.
Well, say using money and pay the trip and pay
for the Tivoli residents who have compensation claims.
Well, him love them very much. You know,
that's right. And if they were willing to die for him, then he should be willing to spend for them.
Yes, yeah? And so they love him more than Jesus.
I mean, the cost to us is even shown in the JPS figures.
Let me say something about that. I'm glad they were there. But because I wonder if this whole initiative was to make sure that JPS could get them live stream. because JPS... So,
from day one, this was what it was all about.
Plan to make sure that JPS could have set up them bases and the people in place.
Yeah.
What are we at JPS have all the lines down at Tivoli and in the West, the whole of Kingston?
And you see the modern meters where them set up on top of light posts and all them something there.
Look here.
Listen to me, man.
JPS not ramp.
But empty. I mean,
anyway, the soldiers go where you're going there.
As much as.
And the soldiers have gone there, let's go.
They have set up shop down there.
I wanted the JPS of America unit.
They've got 620 residents from what Damon Obigler, the president of JPS, is saying, approximately 7,000 households.
Yeah.
So if you have 620 residents from 7,000, that's not even 10%, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And according to Mr. Obigler, we're talking about they want to convert 7,000 households.
Right.
Where none have been paying for electricity. Yeah, he's actually giving thanks for the Jamaica Constabulary Force and the JDF for allowing them to. Not only Tivoli doing it, we don't want to single them out.
No, not just them alone.
You have a couple of Denham Town, Rose Town.
Anyway, the soldier them go, me not tell them, man. From a little secret operation, go on and clean up. Them
exactly.
Is right in there.
So,
hi, citizens, we are the JPS
government
team that is trying to clean up. You know, you have no light right now because we cut down, the soldiers took down all the wires. So, we are JPS. But I want to tell you something though. Did you know that JPS, I learned this during an interview, listening to an interview here on the radio. JPS stated that 13% of the estimated 2.9 million megawatt hours of electricity is stolen. 13%, you know.
What kind of money that work out to?
Well, that money that work out to, let me see, that's kilowatt hours valued at 1.2 million. US
dollars.
That's 103 million Jamaican dollars.
Wow.
People. All right. So them figures that we are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, them say, when that the figure there, we pay 40 and them pay almost 60% of that. So we are paying 40%
of what they owe.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen now, we're paying dearly.
Daily.
And it's not just for Tivoli, it's for any community and any individual.
I don't mind JPS going in there if you call it. I just hope that it reflect.
It will not.
I hope it reflect.
It will not. Because when they start to collect the extra, you think they're going to want to drop our light bill.
I hope it reflect. Okay.
Well, we all hope so now. Johnny.
Yeah.
Nicole.
Yes.
Jamaican athletics, in my view, has a drug problem.
In your view?
In your view.
Yes.
Why is that view?
The latest is that Shelley and Fraser.
Oh, come on.
And our media houses, of course, are trying to. Basically the same thing.
Come on.
You know, she used a painkiller.
Yes.
And so everybody wants to brush it off like that and say, boy, it was just a painkiller. She has been provisionally suspended by the IAAF after a positive test for a painkiller oxycodone for a toothache.
Yes.
It's the situation behind how she ended up using this that I have a problem with, as well as the recurring incidents over the past couple of years. Mm. First and foremost, oxycodone is it's in a group of drugs called narcotics.
Yes.
And
many
people may be hearing painkiller. Yeah. You know, that not banned, but WADA, that's the World Anti-Doping Agency, actually bans several types of substances, not just the ones that will help to enhance your performance, but narcotics as well. This one is a narcotic. They even ban alcohol for some events. Mm-hmm. You understand? Any event where you might be operating, so for instance, race car driving, shooting, etc.
Exactly. Drink before you go drive.
So, good. Before you shoot. So, the narcotics are also banned. The oxycodone is related to opium or what we know as heroin.
Yes,
that's what it's derived from.
Yes,
right? Yes. Now, we know this is something that will affect your performance, but the problem with it is that it's habit forming.
Yes.
It should never be shared with anyone or given to someone unless they have a prescription for it.
Right. Which she did.
No, she did not.
What do you mean she never have a prescription?
Well, the problem is that her physician, she complained about the pain. Her physician gave her medication. It did not work. Her coach then gave her the oxycodone.
Oh, God.
So this is not supposed to be given by anybody but a physician. Listen, you see, if she'll even get away from this, an important aspect that we're not looking at tonight is that the authorities in Switzerland or even the authorities here can charge the coach.
Tell them what coach forgot to do that, though.
Yes.
Yeah? For giving you something, a prescribed drug. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really said story, girl.
That is what it. That is what he said.
Coach, that's how the medication.
Gave her the oxycodone, and I think by his own admission too. Right? Now, let us not even talk about Shellyanne. I think it's probably the Dudu's case that allowed us to forget that just 2 months ago, Bobby Gay Wilkins and had an A sample and a B sample that tested positive for, I think the name of that substance is Andarine.
Ooh.
And that is a performance enhancing substance.
Ooh, yes, eh?
Bobby Gay Wilkins.
Me not be, you can't laugh after BP water, but if you know, we come first for 2 years, you know.
Well,
that's it for me though.
Bobby Gay Wilkins helped us to a bronze in the 4x400 So if she isn't given the clearance by IWF, we're standing to lose that bronze medal. Our record haul at Beijing right now is in trouble based on this. All right, Bobby Gay Wilkins, right now she has a hearing or had a hearing with the IWF. And now she's basically awaiting their report and the result from them.
Mm.
Now, aside from Bobby Gay and Shellyanne, we keep calling these minor infractions, but when it's continuous, that's where we have a problem. You have Johan Blake, Marvin Anderson, Aladdin Fothergill, Sherrian Brooks, and Lansford Spence.
Your list got over 10 yet?
All received bans last year. You want to go over 10?
Yeah, may I ask you
this? Because before last year.
The question may I ask you? Yes. Over 10.
Yes.
From how long? Years? Like, years?
Well, in 2008, this was 2009, and in 2008, there was Julian Dunkley, who was taken off the Beijing team.
I think Shellyanne Fraser is a big name right now. Very, very loved. And those names that you've called, I'm not saying that we don't have a few people in Jamaica who I think try too hard. I mean, in every business, they have a few people who say,
right,
never try to go around the thing.
Right.
I know what we have is a very competent athletic association, one that does check their athletes and do the requisite checks.
Well, I mean,
one that does check their athletes.
To counter
and
that.
A lot of these meets that they actually get caught at are overseas.
To counter that, you're saying does check the athletes. And,
you
know, while I have faith in our coaches, our organization, and the athletes, the Anti-Doping Commission of Jamaica was disbanded after the revelation with regard to Shellyanne's infraction. Remember, you know, our Anti-Doping Commission was under pressure from Beijing. And this was, as it were, the straw that broke the camel's back.
So they've been disbanded, meaning they take them off of black, then we recognize
essentially,
them
they're going to restart. What they're saying is that there's too much conflict of interest. You have some of the same physicians for the athletes are in the Anti-Doping Commission out here.
That makes sense.
You understand? Remember that our very loved Merlin Otte had an A sample that tested positive a couple of years ago, you know. Yeah? You had Patrick Jarrett, Stanazolol, which is the same thing Ben Johnson took. This one I know many people not going to complain about this one. Shot putter, Dorian Scott, marijuana. So, you know, the thing is though, I'm saying these infractions are taking place.
She didn't want to make sure she do that. She'll put them very slowly, you know. Yeah?
Yeah,
might be the business. Yeah, so Dorian, so like a girl.
So, I think it's becoming too frequent now.
Yes.
And we have to look at it. This is one of my main problems with the whole thing, too. Even if these guys aren't actually trying to cheat the system, we have world-class performers. So them have to start adhering to world standards now and act like they're world class. These little simple mix-ups and mistakes, they cannot continue. They cannot continue. And remember, you know, Americans and some other nations are looking at us now to fail because they're saying it must be something that we're doing or taking. Why we're so successful now? Not taking into fact that from the 80s with the East Germans and the 80s and 90s with some of these very Americans cheating, that is what was preventing us from shining from back then.
Listen, there are always going to be people who don't believe. And Jamaicans aren't pretenders. Mm-hmm. One thing, you get us, like as you see us, that's how you get us, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
When you see Usain Bolt having fun, dancing and jigging and and pointing to the sky, it's not because him and anything, but him just had a natural eye.
Fun.
So, I mean, we can try to, I mean, trust me, we do make mistakes, though.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly, I think a lot of our athletes have made some simple mistakes. Like when you look at smoking marijuana, for instance, don't tell the truth. Now, me and you know that marijuana, if anything, it's slow you down.
Like I said,
hello,
you're a world class athlete at the part.
So, maybe, what we need to do,
perhaps,
too, is to step up what we call the education for our athletes.
Yep.
Because if they're ignorant, mm-hmm. they're going to sit down and throw the pill in their mouth. And if Shelly did understand, say, my coach really should not give me this drug,
mm-hmm.
maybe if she knew that.
Shelly, I think, knows that.
I think she's at the stage where she should.
No.
She should know that.
But then maybe the culture of the camp is wrong.
Perhaps.
Because if she was willing to accept it,
mm-hmm.
there you go.
The culture of the camp is wrong.
Because she should know. And you're right, the culture of the camp.
Hey.
So let's see what happens at MVP.
Guess who's back?
Who's back?
Back again. Manat, Phelps, and Phillips. You thought you'd heard the last of them?
Them three better there, you know. Them three better there.
They're not going away.
They're not going away, you know. Manat, Phelps, and Phillips. A big name, them have, you know.
Breaking news. Last night, disbursed just a month after you tell us that you have broken off your arrangements with Manat, Phelps and Phillips,
mm-hmm.
it is found that you went on to pay them $15,000 for more services.
Bop, bop.
Now, the opposition PNP are requesting, and rightly so, that nothing less than a commission of inquiry can unearth the facts of this case. Because the fact of the matter is, we had almost swept it under the rug, you know. And nobody was talking about this thing. And we still don't know everything that took place with the Manat, Phelps and Phillips
mm-hmm.
saga. Yeah? Now, Manat, Phelps and Phillips are saying that they're still insisting that they represented the government and not the JLP.
Right.
But they're saying that they were, one, not representing Mr. Cook, which we know. That is Christopher Dudus Cook. Two, that their dealings with the government had nothing to do with that. Now, Johnny, you have an excerpt from the speech by our prime minister there. Yeah? Read all of it, man. Read from the top.
From the top?
From the top, man.
I test my reading skills
now. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Good school, my God. I'm going to make sure I pan it up, Esther, now. I'm going to... Here we go. I crave your understanding. The government is... I want to say, I crave.
Well,
hello.
They belong in the grave with some of these lies they've been telling us.
I'm going to start my box shuffle. I'm going to come again. I crave your understanding. The government has never refused the request for the extradition of Christopher Cook. It has simply asked the U.S. authorities to provide additional information that would enable the Prime Minister to issue the authorization in compliance with the terms of the treaty. Mm-hmm. In the controversy that has ensued, we sought the opinion of one of Jamaica's most eminent lawyers, Dr. Lloyd Barnett, who advised that the issues involved were not sufficiently settled in law, and therefore the Attorney General would seek a declaration from the court before exercising her authority.
And what does he go on to say?
I wrestled with the potential conflict between the issues of non-compliance with the terms of the treaty and the unavoidable perception that because Cork is associated with my constituency, the government's position was politically contrived.
Uh-huh.
I felt that the concepts of fairness and justice should not be sacrificed in order to avoid that perception.
Right.
In the final analysis, however, that must be weighed against the public mistrust that this matter has evoked and the destabilizing effect it is having on the nation's business. Accordingly, the Minister of Justice, in consideration of all the factors, will sign the authorization for the extradition process to commence. The engagement of man at Phelps and Phillips by Mr. Harold Brady was an effort to secure assistance in resolving the stalemate,
uh-huh,
because the party, uh-huh, was concerned about the negative effect it was having on relations between Jamaica and the United States.
So what we have here is the Prime Minister acknowledging that they engaged Manat Phelps and Phillips because of the stalemate involving the Coke extradition issue. So somebody is lying. Either Manat Phelps and Phillips are lying to us, or the government has lied to us. And I don't see why you would lie to us and basically acknowledge that you went ahead and hired Manat Phelps and Phillips.
But I don't understand why the party, mm-hmm, would be concerned about the stalemate and not the government.
That's a very important question. I mean, if you honestly felt that there was a stalemate here, this should be the government representing one of its citizens.
Exactly.
Not the JLP party. You know, but there's another section there that I wanted to read, you know, Johnny. You were talking earlier about some of these politicians and public servants. Read that little last part down.
Yesterday, I indicated to the central executive, including my parliamentary members, that I was prepared to step aside as prime minister. A new prime minister would need to be assured of the support of the party, and a special general conference would have to be convened to elect a new leader so that a new prime minister can be appointed. The offer was rejected, and I was asked to reconsider.
I have a question for you. Why him never ask we? Him go ask him central executive. He surely ask you. We would not have rejected the offer.
That's what I'm saying.
If you have been so blatant in misleading the people of the nation to the point where you come to parliament to defend a man who at the end of the day was not worth defending. That cost 70 Jamaican lives, yeah.
Isn't that
it says here that Mr. Golding is only concerned about the support of the party and his special central executive. He does not care
about
the people of Jamaica.
That is it.
Vote for me I talk to. Straight.
That is it.
If you ask some people to vote for me, no. They must say, it's a very slim margin. The JLP win by now. People tend to forget that, you know. Mm-hmm. And the Prime Minister in this time, yeah, when the entire nation is in condemnation of the thing, if you go ask all of us one time, no. Mm-hmm. May I ask who vote for me and who for interest in my life? Who for interest makes sense for say nay right now? Yeah.
Let me just touch on one thing before
and
we
play
go.
Up the circus.
And remind our listeners that you can get in touch with us, share your views via yardinfo@gmail.com. That's YAADINFO @gmail.com. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/yardinfo. Twitter.com/yardinfo. Johnny is also on Twitter. Johnny.
Follow me at Johnny Boss.
That's B-U-S-S, people.
Straight.
Blank detention orders. It has come to light that the police, and why we support them, you know, as Gary said, in their drive to rid us of crime, they've been using blank detention orders to detain some of the young men, the many. I mean, up to yesterday, there were 130 men who were scraped off the road up by Kintyre and Papine, etc. And they've been using blank detention orders. The problem arises where the section that is blank is a section that states the reason for taking this young man up and detaining him. There have been some groups who have sounded warnings mm-hmm. about the possibility of the rights of citizens being
abused. It's blank because we really can't say, because him look bad. You know? No, black because him say the wrong thing, I look for me the wrong way. It black because him can't really put say, look here, because him never have on a shirt. It black because him say, no, me that in wrong place, wrong time. That's all them something blank.
And there's one question I want to ask.
Yeah.
That I have heard none of the media houses asking. When they detain these young men, and they quote unquote process them, what is that processing? Are they taking their DNA samples? Are they taking their fingerprints? If you have not been charged with a crime, you should not have to give up your fingerprint or DNA samples to the police. And especially if it is found that they have to release them. And by the way, Valerita Robinson.
Hold on. From them pick you up, do you know?
Yeah.
I mean, remember them announce curfew, right? Or so, right? So if them pick you up, say you pick you up outside a curfew hours are.
It's not a curfew that they pick them up for doing it. The fact that the state of emergency is on,
yeah.
They have the authority to detain individuals, but they should have a reason, and that's why the detention order has a section for a reason.
Yeah, yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
And if they're taking up these gentlemen and taking their fingerprints and DNA samples, and then eventually releasing them, saying, hey, you didn't do anything, but now they have the thing on record, will they be expunged? Are they even collecting them in the first place? What is happening? We want to know.
That sounds like a good question, Andrew.
What is happening?
Get Miss Valerie. Get Smiley if you find out.
Yeah. So.
Where's that? We that?
We that, you know?
World Cup done now.
No World Cup to talk about, John. You want that for Argentina?
No.
All right, so
we have not said congratulations to Spain.
Congratulations to España
for
winning the World Cup. It seems every team Johnny chooses to support lose. So if I was a betting man,
couldn't even make it past what they were on. Hello, don't step to me, man.
Oh God, thank you guys for joining us.
I want to big up those people who gave us all the compliments about the logo. I dropped the logo on my page, man. The logo on my page is crazy, cracking people up.
Yeah, people love the logo. It's on our website, yardinfo.com. And if you join us on Facebook, you'll also see the logo. Prominent.
Yeah.
Also, big up Underground News Report on Facebook. We report the news and we discuss it.
That's right.
That's why you're here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, so take us out.
Peace out. See you next week.